At Kroger, we want our fresh produce to meet your expectations, which is why we're dedicated to doing up to a 27-point inspection on our fruits and veggies, checking for things like scarring. In fact, only the best produce, like zesty oranges and crisp carrots, reach our shelves. Because when it comes to fresh, our higher standards mean fresher produce. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Save big on your favorites with the Buy 5 or More Save a Dollar Each sale. Simply buy 5 or more participating items and save a dollar each with your card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This podcast is supported by Morgan Stanley.
Old school wisdom with a passion for what's possible. That's what you get from the Morgan Stanley client experience. You get listening more than talking and a personalized plan built on insights and innovative technology. You get grit, vision, and the creativity to guide you through a changing world. Old school grit, new world ideas. Morgan Stanley.
To learn more, visit morganstanley.com/YUS. Investing involves risk. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC.
Merkel Media.
He said hydrochloroquine wasn't effective, but it was. He pushed garbage models of the spread. Then, when it didn't pan out, said, you can't rely on models. I mean, so what is it, man? Either you're basing your decisions on models or you can't rely on models. But you can't do both.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How are you feeling? Well, you're alive. You didn't die from the virus or the vaccine yet, so winning, right? Well, maybe we shouldn't use Charlie Sheen as the arbiter of who's winning or not, considering he now has AIDS from dirty porn stars. But listen, we're all alive, right? For now. Let's enjoy it while we can. Let's stay alive too. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Get yourself some great supplements to help you survive the zombie apocalypse, the vaccine apocalypse, just getting ready for winter or fall here in the northern hemisphere. Listen, it's just good to take care of your body in general. It benefits you in every way imaginable. So start thinking about things like that. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Take a look at the video I made. See if that's something that you're interested in participating in. If you want to save yourself some money, use the promo code macro on your way out to save a little bit of extra. And feel free to buy some products and supplements for your friends and family, probably your family, right? You want to keep them going, especially as we come up to this dark winter that Sleepy Joe Biden has talked about, right? Something tells me they've got big plans for us there. So, also, since we're talking about getting ready, we're talking about the dark winter, we're getting prepared. Go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and see if you find anything from My Patriot Supply. They've been nice enough to set up a landing page for us. We can get in there and do a little shopping. Anything that you buy supports the show. We certainly appreciate that more than you can imagine. And it's my pleasure to bring you these shows. We don't charge anything. They're free. Obviously, you can do whatever you want with it. So if you support the sponsors, it helps to put a little money in everybody's pocket, and God knows we could use it. So thank you in advance and for your generous support throughout, years, but it's 18 months or so since we've been doing this podcast. It's been great. I love it. I love the interaction with you guys too. Speaking of interaction, if you want to get on the Discord server, we've got it. It's up. It's running. Helen's doing it in the UK. She's the boss. So I'll put the link in the description. You can go get in there and share your thoughts and opinions and post stories and do whatever you disco weirdos like to do in there. And also, listen, the new book is coming out. And I'm making the offer right now. This is in advance for the listeners. If you are interested in getting the digital copy of the new book, Hypocrisy, Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards, digital copy only, go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, and there is a tab there that says, support via PayPal. That's how you're going to do it. If you do it through PayPal, then it gives me your email address and I've got access. I can email you the book. If you donate, we're going to call it a donation, right? For whatever legal purposes. If you donate $10, I will send you the new book in digital format. If you donate $15 or more, I will send you the new book in the digital format plus the Octopus of Global Control in the digital format as well. I don't have the ability to send you Controlled Demolition of the American Empire because that is a book I wrote with Jeff Berwick and we have sort of shared rights. So it's not 100% mine to do that with. So the offer is $10 via PayPal. I'll get you that digital format of the book before it is available on Amazon, and $15 or more. I'll leave it open-ended and say or more if you guys are feeling generous. And if you are, I certainly appreciate it. Thank you in advance. But $15 or more, and I will get you the Octopus of Global Control as well as Hypocrisy. And I would suggest with these, and the way I've always done it, people that have bought the books from me digitally in the past, when I send the digital format to you, then I say, listen, feel free to share it with your friends and family, you know, those close to you. Please don't put it in like a, you know, group chat or something where everyone can steal it. But if they're friends, family, people that you think might be interested in it, send it to them. I just want the information out. You know what I mean? It's important to me that it gets out there. So that's my little offer. And the book will be out in paperback on Amazon and Barnes & Noble just as soon as possible. I haven't forgotten about it, obviously. We're still finishing up. The back cover will be done. The back cover will be done by the time this episode is on the air, so you don't have to worry about that. And the topic for today has to do with the most dangerous drug cartel in the world. Oh, it's not Chapo Guzman in the Sinaloa cartel. It's not Pablo Escobar. It's not any of those. It's actually not even the CIA, though they do run the most powerful drug cartel. But the most dangerous one is the American medical industry. It's the FDA. It's the CDC. It's the Faucis. It's this group that is running the COVID operation. And I use that term operation specifically because this is an operation. It's not organic, didn't start in a wet market, wasn't from bats. That's horse shit. Okay. We've established that that is not true. Okay. It's an operation. It was made to happen. It was planned in advance. There's plenty of foresight. We have Anthony Fauci saying in 2017 that Donald Trump's going to get a pandemic during his term. That's a hell of a prediction, wouldn't you suggest? I mean, that's an unusual thing to say to the president, and I'll be damned if he wasn't right. Almost like he knew it was coming. Like, you know, the SPARS pandemic document or Event 201. You know, those things with advanced knowledge. There's plenty of advanced knowledge if you know where to look. I'll tell you where not to look. It's the mainstream media. And to be, you know, to be fair, it's not even so much that it's just the CDC and FDA, though they will get theirs from me in this episode. Don't get me wrong. But it's bigger. It's a global operation. And so that's why you see things like in Australia, you have the, Victoria Premier Daniel Andrews ordered that unvaxxed will be locked out of all healthcare services. Now, wait a second. I'm a little bit confused here. Not really. I thought this was about if we can just save one life. I thought this was all about health. I mean, if it's all about health, then surely you'll take anybody into the healthcare services. You won't be locking people out, right? Right? Oh, you are going to be locking people out. Okay, so we've now established that it's not about health. I mean, in case there was any doubt, which I don't think there was for many people, it's not about health. And we know it's not about science. It is about compliance. And nowhere is that more evident than in Australia. I mean, they will beat the shit out of you for your health. But it's a media-driven narrative, as we know. And the media are very dangerous. They've been dangerous, they've been dangerous for a very long time. But most of the time, it's, you know, telling lies that start indiscriminate wars or trying to convince people that they should support one candidate over another, and that person turns out to be a psychopath or something like that. That sort of media damage is hard to put a figure on. But the media's damage in conjunction with COVID operation is pretty easy. I mean, you can look at the damage that's been done and say they're co-conspirators in this whole operation. We've been talking about that for a while. I feel that is a fair assessment of them, and not that you need to be fair with the media. So even if it was an unfair assessment, I don't care. But it is a fair assessment. They're co-conspirators in this. None of this operation works without the media, and so you get organizations like the American Medical Association, and documents that they put out, they don't mean for it to get leaked to the general public. They send a document out to doctors telling them how to talk to their patients about COVID, right? We're going to just talk to our patients about it. Well, that's not what they did. This was a document instructing doctors on how to lie to their patients. And that's not my opinion on it. That's what it is. It talks about how to, I mean, the things that they were listing in this document, and it's, you know, I have the document. It talks about how to remove fake reviews. If you're working at a hospital or you're working at some organization and you're getting pummeled online by reviews that people are saying this, there's something wrong here. You know, I went in there and they wouldn't let me do this, that, and they wouldn't let me say goodbye to my mother who was dying. And they put my husband on a ventilator and he had specific orders saying not to be put on a ventilator. And we signed in and signed the electronic signature thing. And we said, do not give us a vaccine under any circumstances. And they vaccinated these people anyway, you know, all that stuff that you write nasty reviews about, legitimate ones. Well, this document shows you how to get rid of them. Not how to give people the correct news or the right information. No, none of that. How do you get rid of the negative reviews? Because that's the most important thing, right? How to deal with detractors online. Replace the phrase hospitalization rate with claims that all hospitalized patients are actually deaths. They talk about that. I'm not kidding. they bring that up. They say, well, you know, this is this is the document that we're going to use, and this is how you, when discussing hospitalization rates, let's not talk about the rate of hospitalization. Let's really make it seem like everybody that's in the hospital is dead from this. That's what they want. They want you to make a bigger deal. So they're told how to deflect questions about vaccine injuries and deaths from people and reporters. Think about that. They're telling these doctors how to deflect questions about, you know, they tell them how to stall when they're getting a question about this stuff, not how to answer it properly, or this is the most accurate way, or you can tell, you can point to this study, or you can point to none of that stuff at all. It's how do you deflect the questions? They just say, tell everybody that everything is based on facts. I mean, we've seen the facts, right? The facts are written in pencil. But to them, all you have to do is tell everyone that everything that I'm telling you is based on facts. And if you have a problem with the facts, then that's your problem. Really? Okay. Well, it's funny that the facts keep changing. They are told to call frontline doctors snake oil salesmen. The irony, right? Of these doctors calling another batch of doctors snake oil salesmen, being instructed by the pharmaceutical industry, well, by American Medical Association, which is a tacit, you know, it's connected to the pharmaceutical industry. All these regulatory associations and agencies are completely captured by Big Pharma. We know that. But you're going to call the frontline doctors snake oil salesmen while reading a document provided to you on how to lie to the public. Ugh. They give the doctors in this document that they're sent it a template of what to post on social media and the hashtags to use. So you know how all those doctors, you know how you see those tweets of like, been working 12-hour shift, so sad, everyone's dying, don't know if I can handle it, get vaxxed, hashtag vaccines work, you know, like, or whatever, you know, I'm just kind of making it up, but it's sort of a tweet like that from some doctor you've never heard of. And then you see that exact tweet 47 different times from different doctors saying the exact same thing. This is why they are doing that. They're getting instructions. There's bot farms too, of course. There's some of that happening as well. But some of the doctors that are posting things that are like real doctors trying to post real messages, the messages that they're posting are being provided to them as a template by the American Medical Association. This is what to say. This is how to say it. They are told to say, quote, shots keep you safe, which is a lie. I mean, it's not my opinion that it's a lie. It is a lie because they have admitted that you take the vaccine, the shot, you can still get COVID and you can still transmit COVID. So if you can still get COVID, how the fuck does the shot make you safe? The answer is it doesn't. That's a lie. So the American Medical Association, you know, the AMA, that only cares about your health, is making documents, sending it out to all their doctors, instructing them on how to lie to you. And they wonder why we have problems? Why wouldn't we have problems with this? Why wouldn't we have questions? I mean, is it any wonder why doctors are now calling for the unvaccinated to not be treated inside hospitals? They're being told to by the people that are supposed to be looking out for your actual health. Not teaching you how to stall during an interview and say, oh, I'm sorry, can you, literally it says in there, tell them, ask them, I'm sorry, can you repeat the question again? They know that interviewers have a limited amount of time. Oh, I'm really glad you asked that question. Actually, what I want to talk to you about though is how vaccines are safe and effective. They teach them how to divert. Now I know all these tactics. I own a media training company for pro athletes and I know how to get around questions. I know how to sit through an interview and say nothing if I wanted to. But why the fuck would I do that? They're instructing doctors how to say nothing. They're instructing doctors how to use weasel words. They're instructing them how to get around, how to stall and run out the clock on an interview. I mean, listen, that's not what you do when you're talking about actual things. That's what you do when you're bullshitting people. Okay? That's just what's happening. And then we go from that to, you know, what the media did with Rogan. And I think we all saw that Joe Rogan got COVID. He did a video where he said, listen, I was down for the count. One day was really bad. Second day, you know, I threw the kitchen sink at it. We did ivermectin. We did this. We did remdesivir. We did, you know, he listed like a half a dozen things that they did, like quite a bit. And he said that he felt fine after a couple of days. And he said he's back at it. And good for Joe Rogan, right? Upfront about it. I got COVID. You know, he hasn't been shitting on it as much as like maybe I have, but you know, having fun with it and saying, well, you know, there's questions about it. So then the left, the loony left, goes, he's taking horse pills. He's taking horse paste. Ivermectin is this, ivermectin is that, blah, blah, blah. And then Rolling Stone writes the article. Ivermectin in Oklahoma, disastrous. All these people, gunshot wound. We're turning away gunshot wound victims because the emergency rooms are overflowing with people overdosing on ivermectin. None of it was true. 100% a lie. The doctor that was alleged, you know, that gave the story on that hadn't worked at the hospital for 2 months. And the hospital came out and said, we don't know what he's talking about. We're fine. Haven't had a gunshot victim here yet. And nobody's OD'd on ivermectin and we're not turning anybody away. Whole story was fake. Fake. Not incorrect. Not we kind of got it wrong. Fake. Fake on purpose. To demonize ivermectin. To make it look like people that are looking for alternatives to the vaccine are unhinged conspiracy theorists that are taking animal tranquilizers or shit like that. None of that is true. And Rolling Stone should know better. I mean, after all, they got the shit sued out of them for the Duke LaCrosse rape thing that they got completely wrong and forgot to check their sources. And what do you know? The same thing happened with this. They forgot to check their sources. You know, like making one phone call to one hospital and asking if any of this is true. Eh, fuck it. Go to print. We're Rolling Stone. Oh, but they did issue an addition to the story, not a retraction, not an apology. They kept the fake story up online. They just put something over it says, oh, well, you know, there's questions about this. No, there are not questions about it. There's no questions about it. The questions have all been answered. You lied. You got busted lying. There are no questions. The story is not up for debate. It's settled. You know, like the science. But in this case, it's actually settled. Rolling Stone lied. A lot of media lied. And, you know, and then Joe Segura comes on and he goes, do I have to sue these people at CNN? The answer is yes, you have to sue these people at CNN. I'm not a lawyer, obviously. I don't know if you have a case. But on principle, yeah, you have to. Yeah, you have to. You should sue all of them. Just for fun. You got the money. What do you care? Go give some money to some lawyer and go, hey, do me a favor. Go sue all these people and make a lot of noise while you're doing it. If there's one thing, one common thread running through the COVID operation, it's just endless lies. That's what it is. And it's given cover because it's easy for people to say, well, you know, it was very confusing. It was the heat of the moment and things were so uncertain. Yeah, we said do this. Yeah, we said don't wear the masks, but you know, we just didn't know. We didn't know. And mistakes were made. You know, that garbage government cover your ass line. Mistakes were made. Oh, they just were magically made? Funny how all the mistakes seem to go in one direction, towards the agenda. Mistakes weren't made saying, oh, all this stuff is bullshit. never heard that mistake being made, right? We only heard you're all going to die if you don't do X, Y, and Z. If you don't wear the mask, if you don't social distance, everybody's going to die. If you don't get in your house, if you don't not go to your work, if you go see grandma, you're going to kill grandma. If you hug people, you have to wear a plastic, you know, shower curtain to hug your grandparents or they're going to die. I mean, funny how they got it all wrong, but they got it all wrong towards the side of everybody's going to die. And this is the most important pandemic in the history of pandemics. So, and of course, you know, the FDA, they had to put a black box warning on the vaccine about myocarditis, but, you know, they failed to mention that in the media. It's happening to kids, you know. Myocarditis is happening to kids. You're giving the vaccine to kids, and then their hearts are showing major problems, so much so that the FDA can no longer hide it, so they're having to put a black box warning on it saying that the vax may cause problems with myocarditis for kids. But they don't mention that in the media, of course, and you never get the vaccine insert because it's experimental use authorization, and so it's blank. It's very frustrating. But it's worth paying attention, because if we don't call these people out for their obvious lies, they're going to continue to lie. And they're still, you know, frankly, they're still probably going to lie, even though we call them out. But we're going to make it increasingly more difficult for them to continue the lies. And we're going to discredit anybody in this circle that is spouting these things, like Fauci and his group, and every news anchor that comes on. And of course, you know, the president of the United States and the vice president, and that goes for both presidents. Okay. I'm not leaving Trump out of this. He turned into, you know, for all you out there that love yourself some Donald Trump, just remember that he turned into the biggest vaccine salesman in the world. Okay. Knowing damn well that there were huge questions about this vaccine. So anybody that's saying, oh, Trump's coming to the rescue, Trump's coming to save us from all this, you need to take a step back and be objective about this, because that is not the case. Now, he's probably better than Biden on this, but he did tell everyone, go get the vaccines. And he said it multiple times. And he said it kind of like he had a financial incentive in it. I don't know that. I'm speculating on that. But he went into salesman mode, and you know he goes into salesman mode when he thinks he can make a little bit of money. Just a thought. So part of what this dangerous drug cartel needs is the cooperation of the mainstream media. This is the co-conspirator component to this. So in March of 2020, right when this thing started, The Lancet published a letter that called the Wuhan lab leak theory, quote, conspiracy theories. They put out a letter, right? And they said, oh, this Wuhan lab leak is conspiracy theory. It's nothing. And the people that are pushing it should be ashamed of themselves. And we here are going to all sign our names. It's going to be signed by 27 doctors that are attesting to this and saying, yes, this is garbage. Don't waste your time looking into Wuhan. Turns out that 26 of the 27 of these people had connections to China's Wuhan Institute of Virology. I'm sure you're all very shocked by that. There was one guy who actually didn't have a tie to it. He must have just got lost and gone in like the wrong room or something. I don't know. I don't know what his deal is, but 26 out of 27, that's a lot. We've got Peter Daszak, the ringleader of the letter. You know, that guy who's in charge of it all. He's got ties to Eco Health Alliance, and Eco Health Alliance has funded the Wuhan lab. And do you know what they funded the Wuhan lab to do? They funded them to do gain of function research. Oh, I'm sorry. That's conspiracy theory, right? 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 That's all conspiracy theory, except for the emails that show it from Fauci to these guys talking about it. But don't mind that. Right, there was $600,000 from NIH, from Fauci. There were several million that was sent to Eco Health Alliance, but of that several million, 600,000 was specifically used for gain of function research. It was, and they admit it, and they're busted. Now, I happen to be of the belief that it may or may not have come from Wuhan. I'm not ruling Fort Detrick out of this, and I don't think anybody should. Because if there's one thing I know, it's that the United States likes to do some horrible shit and blame it on other countries. And now when everybody says, no, it's not Wuhan, it's not that, and then there's a big shift and everyone goes, well, hang on a second, we got these Fauci emails and it looks like it is Wuhan. I'm not going to pile in on that direction necessarily either, because that it's still coming from the mainstream media. So they've got you going back and forth here. Now, it may very well be 100% just all Wuhan. But Fort Detrick makes this shit too. Okay. That's an American bioweapons lab. And they're not the only lab. There's a lab in Corey Hughes was talking about it. Is it Galveston? It's somewhere in Texas. I'm not sure. Anyway, so there's options out there. But Peter Daszak said in an email, this dumbass left a huge trail of himself. He was asked by, quote, our collaborators in China for a show of support. He asked for a show of support, meaning he sent an email to Fauci and these guys saying, listen, our collaborators in China would like a show of support, meaning, hey, you guys need to come out and say it didn't come out of this fucking laboratory. You know what I mean? Like, we could really use a hand. Like, we need you to run some cover because we're starting to take some heat. This was early on. We're starting to take some heat. They're all looking at this lab. We're here in the lab. You know, we're working on this shit, but we need your support. Wink, wink. Go run cover and go say that this is all bullshit. And I'll get to why that is important in a second. So, three people from Britain's Wellcome Trust also signed the letter, and that organization is also funding research in Wuhan. Plus, then the Global Virome Project took over for what was called the PREDICT Project to continue their work on bat coronaviruses. Who's the treasurer of the Global Virome Project that took over and started working and continued work on bat coronaviruses? Oh, well, the treasurer is Peter Daszak. You know, the guy. So there's big problems with the official story. One guy that didn't sign the letter but was deeply involved in it is Professor Ralph Barrick. And he was collaborating with Xi Shengjili, who's also known as the Bat Lady, which is a pretty awesome nickname. Unless you're the Bat Lady because of COVID, then it kind of sucks. But he was collaborating with her and the Wuhan lab researching genetically manipulated coronaviruses to see if they could be made to infect humans. Now, why would you be doing that, Professor Ralph Barrick? Why would you be doing that? Well, probably because you were paid to do it. He said, Barrick said that it was possible to engineer a virus, quote, without leaving a trace. So he didn't sign the letter because he obviously had major ties to Wuhan and everyone knew it. But everyone else thought that, you know, people wouldn't notice or wouldn't check into it. And they were wrong. And when you get 26 out of 27 people that signed this document saying, oh, nothing to see here in Wuhan, and then you find out that they all have ties to Wuhan, well, you know what? It's reasonable to start looking at Wuhan and these 26 people. I mean, I think they should be dragged down to the police station and, you know, and ask some questions about their involvement in this whole thing. And speaking of Wuhan, I think it's interesting that we consider another option that, you know, as far as I know, nobody's talking about this. And I don't know if it's just a choice or nobody knows about it, or I've heard it from some people, but certainly not enough. But are you familiar with the World Military Games that took place in Wuhan, China, October 18th through the 28th, 2019? Think about that. It's about the same time Event 201 was happening in New York. But in Wuhan, they're having the World Military Games. So a letter was sent to Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, and General Mark Milley. You know that guy who's just about to go to prison for all of his involvement in this woke shit and his Afghanistan botching and his back channels with China, where he's, you know, going behind Trump's back and doing all that stuff. These two guys got letters. They got letters from Congress of the United States, House of Representatives. It was sent to them by a gentleman named Mike Gallagher, member of Congress. I'm not really familiar with Mike Gallagher, but this was the letter that he sent to them. I'm going to read it. Dear Secretary Austin and Chairman Milley, from October 18th to the 28th, 2019, the World Military Games took place in Wuhan, China. The games featured competitors from over 100 countries, including 280 American athletes and staff. After the games, athletes from several nations reported becoming sick with symptoms they later recognized as consistent with COVID-19. For example, French pentathlete Elodie Clovel reported becoming sick at the games and later was told by a military doctor that she may have contracted COVID-19. Reports also indicate that athletes from Italy, Germany, Sweden, and Luxembourg may all have become sick with symptoms consistent with COVID-19 at the games. One athlete from Luxembourg reported, quote, nearly empty streets in Wuhan during the games, recalling, quote, it was a ghost town. There were rumors that the government warned the inhabitants not to go out. While anecdotal, these reports raise important questions about the timeline of the initial COVID-19 outbreak in Wuhan. While the Chinese government first reported an unexplained illness in Wuhan in late December 2019, information released by the U.S. Department of State suggests that lab researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology became sick with symptoms consistent with COVID-19 in fall 2019, well before the established beginning of the outbreak. Subsequent reporting has revealed that three researchers from the Wuhan Institute of Virology sought hospital care for COVID-like symptoms in November 2019. Additionally, former Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Robert Redfield has publicly estimated that the virus began circulating in Wuhan in September or October 2019, and new evidence suggests that COVID-19 may have been present in the U.S. as early as December 2019. Aware that the cluster of illnesses associated with the World Military Games cast doubt upon the Chinese Communist Party's official timeline, Chinese government officials such as Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesman Zhao Lijian have sought to deflect blame onto the U.S., recklessly speculating that it might be U.S. Army who brought the epidemic to Wuhan during the games, i.e. Fort Detrick. Given unanswered questions surrounding the origins of the pandemic, information involving the health of service members who participated in the 2019 games could provide key evidence in understanding when COVID first emerged. Consequently, I respectfully request answers to the following questions. How many American athletes and staff attending the games became ill? So he goes on to ask six questions about this. But isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that they are talking about the World Military Games. Now, if you wanted to get a virus spread around the world, where would you do it? Well, you would do it at the Olympics, right? But the Olympics, and maybe originally they planned to do it at the Olympics, but the Wuhan Games came up and they thought, oh, well, Olympics are happening in Japan and that's going to happen, you know, in based on where they had it calculated, you know, from October, it's probably 9 months later. 9 months later in the summer of 2020, it'll happen in Tokyo, which doesn't really work, but we're going to have these games in Wuhan and we're creating this virus in Wuhan. What a great opportunity. We'll release it. We'll make sure all these people get it and then they all go home. And then that way it's like contagion. You know, it's just, you get on the airplane and then it spreads everywhere. So it's from a strategic standpoint, it's genius, right? That's how you spread it real fast. You let all of these people go take it back to their countries. So it's a possibility. that that was part of it. And I know a lot of people that said, you know, I felt really crappy in December of 2019. You know, I think we've all heard those stories. So it was definitely around. It was definitely out in the world in some form or fashion during the last month or so of 2019. But that letter to the woke general and woke Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense, you know, I don't know that you would, I don't know that that this congressperson who sent it to these two should be holding their breath waiting for an in-depth analysis from these guys. These guys don't look like they're willing to participate with anything that isn't, you know, purple-haired tranny story time or making sure that there's pride flags on drone bombs. You know what I mean? Let's change course here just a little bit. Let's move into the ivermectin situation because we're talking about corrupt medical cartels and the media. And what the media has tried to do to ivermectin has been fascinating to watch. And, you know, they have no credibility left. I don't know if they realize that they have no credibility left because they act as if they're completely logical and reasonable and everybody should listen to them and they've never told a lie and all these things. And yet they come out with the ivermectin story and it is just, it's just an abomination. So let me just give you a little bit of background on ivermectin. Okay. It was discovered by a Japanese scientist who then brought in his buddy who was also a scientist who happened to work at Merck. The two of them came together and I guess invented it is the best way to put it. And it was released by Merck in 1980 to combat a parasite worm that causes a condition called river blindness. And that happens along, you know, Central Africa and parts of South America. It's a real problem. You just go blind from this parasite, this parasitic worm, but it's treatable if you know how, if you have the right medicine, which is ivermectin, which cures it. The World Health Organization has ivermectin listed as one of the world's quote essential medicines. So any people out there, anybody that you encounter on social media or those dipshits at Rolling Stone or Rachel Maddow and her cast of morons at MSNBC, they're talking about ivermectin as being dangerous. They're lying. Flat out. No longer are they just wrong. No longer are they misinformed. They now know. And they are lying about it. It's cheap to make because it's a generic now. In 1996, the patent expired and it became a generic, which is, you know, you can't make money on it. And we know Big Pharma is not in the business of getting you healthy. They're in the business of keeping you sick and on the treadmill of prescription medicines for the rest of your life so that they can make money. That's their business model. So they don't like generics. And not only is it cheap to make it, normal dosages, it has no side effects. That is the medical description of it. At normal doses, it has no side effects. So not only is it not going to put you in the emergency room and all those gunshot victims that are bleeding to death in the lobby are just going to have to wait while you stroll in there with your horse paste overdose. It's not true. It's not true. Okay. In 2015, let me just put it in perspective. Omera, the Japanese gentleman that invented this in 2015, he won the Nobel Prize in medicine for this. Okay. I'm going to say that again. He won the Nobel Prize in medicine for his discovery of ivermectin. The media comes out and tells you if you take ivermectin, you're going to die of an overdose because it's horse medicine. They know that this is not true. So why are you still watching the mainstream media? Why are you on MSNBC.com? Why are you on CNN.com? Don't participate. Don't allow those people to lie to you anymore. This is, look, listen, if I know this, they know this. Okay. And I don't have access to all the information, but if my dumbass has figured this out, you mean to tell me that Jeff Zucker at CNN doesn't know this? Of course he does. This is intentional. The demonization of ivermectin is intentional because, you see, you can't have a secondary treatment for COVID, one that's actually effective, and have the emergency use authorization designation. You only get that when there is no other option except the vaccine, the rush to market experimental gene therapy, what medicine, I use that term very loosely, that they're pushing. You can't give it the experimental use authorization as long as there is something else out there that does the job just as well, maybe even better. So that's why they're demonizing ivermectin, because they need you to take the shots. It's all about the shots, in case you haven't figured it out. I mean, like, ivermectin wasn't a secret. They knew in advance that it already worked well against Zika and West Nile virus, and a study shown that when they tested it in the lab early on against SARS-CoV-2 in April of 2020, the study showed that ivermectin worked so well it gave a 5,000-fold reduction in the virus in just 48 hours. Oops. We accidentally found something that works really well. Can't have that information getting out. Anybody that takes it or talks nicely about it, we're going to call them conspiracy theorists and horse paste addicts. Now, see, ivermectin is FDA approved for parasite infections, which means that it does have the purpose. It has the potential for being repurposed, meaning you can now take it and say, well, if it works on these parasites, and it does, then maybe it will work on these other parasites, right? So you can use that logic to try it out. And of course, they try it out. And what does it show? It shows a 5,000-fold reduction in the virus in just 2 days. I'd say that's effective. But you know what they also noticed is that they found that in regions that use a lot of ivermectin, like that Central Africa or like the parts of South America that have these problems with river blindness and this parasite, that they've been taking ivermectin for a very long time because of that. And you know what they noticed? The rates of COVID in those areas were almost non-existent. I mean, like fucking magic, right? The medicine that has really great results against it is getting really great results in these regions where they've been using it for a long time. They don't have COVID. What a surprise, right? I bet you didn't hear that on the nightly news. But this is kind of what we're up against. We've got now the push to vaccinate kids or remove them from schools. It's frustrating to me that when the evidence came out, the emails came out that Fauci spent $600,000 on this gain of function research in Wuhan, I didn't hear CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, or ABC run any stories about it. In fact, they refused to. They refused to. Do you know why they refused to? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. It doesn't fit the narrative that our guys were financing research for gain of function. For those that don't know what gain of function is, gain of function is when you take a virus or you take something and say, can we make it deadly so that it kills everybody? I mean, you know, it's like military stuff, right? Okay, you've got this thing here. Oh, I see how it works. All right, can we make it dangerous? That's how the military thinks, right? How do we kill people with this, right? So you get this virus, and then they say, well, here, let's spend $600,000 to research gain of function. Can we make it dangerous? Yeah. Who financed that? Fauci. Why? Why are you financing research to make novel coronaviruses from bats dangerous? Why are you doing that? And then a novel coronavirus from bats just happens to go out into the world and is super dangerous. You don't think it's reasonable for us to ask a question, why are you funding this? You don't think it's reasonable for CNN and MSNBC and all of the major networks to go out there and report on this? You know, isn't that their duty and obligation? Of course it is. But will they do it? No. No, of course not. Then we've got the Israeli health minister admitting on a hot mic that vaccine passports, quote, only intended to pressure unvaccinated to get vaccinated. Nitzan Horowitz was caught on a hot mic also saying, quote, there is no medical or epidemiological justification for the COVID passport. It is only intended to pressure the unvaccinated to vaccinate. That's when you say the quiet part out loud and it's right next to a microphone and it gets broadcast on national TV. It's a scam, right? We understand this, right? Israel's fucked, by the way. You guys wanted to be the most vaccinated country on earth? Well, good luck to you. There are rumors, I can't confirm this, but I have heard that there is a 10-year gag order issued by Pfizer to the country of Israel, to the state of Israel, that they are not allowed to report on vaccine side effects for 10 years. Now, I haven't confirmed that. So let's just leave that as a maybe that's the case. It doesn't really matter. The fact that Pfizer is calling the shots on media policy, governmental health policy is crazy. So I think, you know, speaking of fake everything, right? Let's talk about the fake FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccine, since we're on the topic of Pfizer. They didn't approve. The FDA did not approve the Pfizer vaccine, despite the fact that we were told that they did. Have you heard that? Have you heard on the news over the last several weeks, the Pfizer shot has been approved? Well, it was going to, you know, there's rumors it's going to be approved on Monday. And then that Monday came, the Pfizer shot has been approved by the FDA. It actually hasn't. They're lying about that again. I know, you're all very surprised to hear me say that the FDA and Pfizer and the media are all lying, but they're lying. And I've got the receipts to show it. There's a letter that's sent by Denise Hinton, chief scientist at the FDA. She wrote this letter to Pfizer. And this is what it says. It is one sentence long. This EVA or EUA, I'm sorry, emergency use authorization, will be effective until the declaration that circumstances exist justifying the authorization of the emergency use of drugs and biological products during the COVID-19 pandemic is terminated under Section 564(b)(2) of the Act, or the EAU is revoked under Section 564G of the Act. Sincerely, Denise Hinton, Pfizer. The EAU is remaining in place. How do we know that? Well, buried in the footnotes of all of this is that the FDA admits that there are two different entities and vaccines. There is the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, and there is the BioNTech GmbH of Mainz, trade name Comirnaty. The products are legally distinct with certain differences. So, what got approved? The Comirnaty vaccine got approved. Oh, isn't that great? We would just go get that. There's only one problem. It's not available. That's not the shot they're talking about. You think, because you've been told, that the Pfizer shot got the approval, got the FDA approval. That is not true. The Comirnaty shot got the approval, but that's a shot that's not available. There's two different shots. They're different in every way, including legally different. One got the authorization, one did not. The one that got the authorization is not the Pfizer vaccine that you can go to your doctor and get. It's called Comirnaty, Comirnaty. That's the brand name for it. It is not available. That is what is authorized. It's authorized, but you can't get it. The Pfizer vaccine that they said is authorized is not. It does not have the approval. And it is stated in this document by Denise Hinton, the chief scientist of the FDA, writing this to the head of Pfizer, saying that the emergency use authorization is remaining in place and will remain in place until it is revoked under Section 564G of the Act. Let us know when you revoke it. They refuse to tell where the BioNTech vaccine is produced. Isn't that interesting? Probably made in China. So, what does Dr. Robert Malone say? You know who he is. He's the inventor of the mRNA technology. He's been a guest of mine on our group, my group podcast, The Union of the Unwanted, that we do. And he's been on, and he's got major concerns, and he'll talk to you all day long about it. And what he said is this. He said, there is a letter for Pfizer and a letter for BioNTech. The New York Times and Washington Post got it wrong. The authorization is not for Pfizer. The authorization is for BioNTech, and it will only be initiated at the time BioNTech product becomes available. So they're lying. But why are they so interested in lying about this approval? Think about this. I mean, just think about the concept of this. It's either approved or it's not approved, right? And it's not approved. But they lied and said that it was approved and then used some bait and switch tactic. And, you know, it's really two vaccines. Oh, well, we didn't say that vaccine was approved. I mean, think about it for a second. Why are they lying to you about the approval of the vaccine? Because they want you to think that this vaccine is approved by the FDA. And we know the FDA is the Fraud and Death Administration. I mean, their approval means jack shit. But either way, there's a large segment of the population that see FDA approval and go, oh, well, if it's FDA approval, it must be healthy. You know, I think most of us probably felt that way at some point until we woke up and realized, oh, this is a captured regulatory agency and nothing that the FDA says should be taken to the bank at all. And, you know, they're dangerous individuals over there. So when they say it's approved, you know that there's a large segment that's going to go, oh, well, then it's safe. And now I'm going to take it. I was a little unsure and now I'm going to take it. Or the military couldn't mandate it, but now we've got this authorization. It's been approved, and now it's mandated. No, it's not. You people in the military that didn't want to take this, you better bring this up to your superiors. Let them know that there's some horseshit going on. If you know, and of course it won't matter. I don't think. Pfizer appointed Scott Gottlieb to their board of directors after he resigned as the head of the FDA 3 months earlier. Do you see how this works? Do you understand that this is a revolving door? That the head of the FDA leaves and goes and becomes a board member of Pfizer. And then the FDA comes out and says, hey, we've approved the Pfizer shot. And you go, no, you haven't. Pfizer also has Dr. Susan Desmond-Hellmann, who was the head of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now she's on the board of Pfizer. I mean, what could possibly go wrong, right? And just on an aside that I think you might find interesting, Pfizer doesn't mandate the vaccine for its employees. And the head of Pfizer hasn't taken the shot. But you guys go get it. Go rush out and get it. Hurry up now. We're timing you. Come on, be good. If you go faster, I'll give you a donut. Oh, you got the shot? No, we're not getting the shot. Oh, your employees, are they taking the shot? Fuck no, they're not taking the shot either. This is like Monsanto not serving GMO foods in their cafeteria for their people. You know, oh, if you believe in your product, why don't you serve it? Well, you know, also the White House and Congress and all of their staffers and everything, they're exempt too. But, you know, I'm sure that's not a surprise. Oh, and you know what the White House is doing? Is they're doing using dirty tricks like trying to have OSHA, the Occupation and Safety Health or Hazard Association, to have them do the dirty work by going around and trying to enforce vaccine mandates and shit like that. But they were the OSHA tells their employers do not report vaccine injuries. Why? Why not report vaccine injuries? I mean, if we're talking about occupational safety hazards. And that's your organization is to look into occupational safety hazards. And one of the hazards that's coming up is that all these side effects from the vaccines, and you're instructing people to not report it, then what in the fuck are you doing? OSHA. And then there's Fauci. And really, what do you say about this little elf? Besides, the gay community wanted him strung up in the 80s for what he did to them with AZT. The COVID community wants him strung up for the lies that he's told, and the lies are almost never ending. Fauci said to Rand Paul the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. No, they fund EcoHealth Alliance, like I said, with a few million dollars, and they finance gain-of-function research. Plausible deniability, except for the emails that leaked out. And in those emails, Fauci's emails to the Chinese lab people, they show that he funded the research in Wuhan and that he knew that the virus, quote, looked engineered and was, quote, inconsistent with evolutionary theory. So, you know, obviously he knew it was not a real thing. He then had a conference call with Bob Kadlec, who I got to have Whitney Webb back on. She'll go for an hour on who Bob Kadlec is. This guy's a dangerous individual. He's in charge of HARPA. He's a maniac. Fauci then had a conference call with Bob Kadlec, Dr. Birx, the head of the CDC, and the assistant secretary for health, after which they issued a statement that said this, quote, the main crackpot theories going around at the moment relate to this virus being somehow engineered, dot, 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 and that is demonstrably false. Well, you know what it looks like to me? It looks like they got their story straight and then issued a massive lie. Because crackpot theories about the virus being engineered, being demonstrably false, that's interesting because you sent an email to your guys at the lab saying that it looked engineered and was inconsistent with evolutionary theory. So which is it, Anthony? Is this a crackpot theory? If it's a crackpot theory, why are you emailing your guys with the crackpot theory and telling them that it looks engineered? I mean, you cannot have it both ways. And I think Deborah Birx, man, I think she just checked out. I think she probably got into this and was like, this is more than I signed up for, because she put that scarf around her neck and went out there and sold that bullshit as best she could. And she was not good at it. And she had guilty written all over her face and she kind of disappeared. She should disappear to Guantanamo Bay with the rest of these people, if you ask me. But you know, I'm just a conspiracy theorist. What do I know, right? So Fauci claimed, you know, let's just go over, we'll wrap up with this because, I'm beating this dead horse paste, you know, to death here. But I'll bring it back to life with ivermectin. Don't worry. Fauci's lies. Here's just a sampling of them. First of all, he claimed COVID wasn't a major threat. That's his first statement, was it's not a major threat. Okay, really? You're engineering it in a lab. You're doing gain of function research on it. And then you say it's not a threat. How dare you? Second of all, then he says masks don't work. And then he said they did. Then he said to wear two masks. Then he admitted lying early on. And then he said that I wasn't being truthful because I didn't want the first responders to not have this protection. Well, listen, either it works or it doesn't work, man. Once again, pick one. He lied about herd immunity. First, he said 60%. Then he said 70 to 75%. Then he said 80%. Then he said 85%. Last time, he said 90%. Herd immunity. Where have I heard that? Oh, yeah, wait. The CDC, remember, they changed the definition of herd immunity in November of 2020, right before the vaccines came out. They took out the word natural immunity and replaced it with vaccine immunity. So herd immunity, the concept, which is dubious, has a sliding scale of percentages needed in order to achieve it. 60%, 70%, 75%, 80%, 85%, 90%. He's on the record saying every single one of those things. And then they changed the definition of herd immunity so that only has vaccines in it. But there's nothing to see there. That's not totally suspicious or anything. That's real normal, guys. Trust me, it's super normal to change the definition of herd immunity right before you release the vaccines. He said Texas would have a huge surge after the mask mandate dropped off. He was wrong about that. He lied about the gain of function. We know about that. He said that there will be breakthrough cases with the vaccine, but in the same sentence of an interview, he said if everyone gets the vaccine, then this thing will be over. How is it going to... Please explain to me how this works. If everybody gets the vaccine, then this whole thing will be over. except that in the same sentence, he said, breakthrough cases, there's nothing that can be done about breakthrough cases, that people that take the vaccine are going to get the virus. So which is it? Everyone gets the vaccine and it's over, or everyone gets the vaccine and then there's breakthrough cases and there's still people getting it? Which one is it? He lied about PCR test. Remember that? Set it up to 30. He set it to 35 cycles, it's minuscule. All you get are dead nucleotides, is what he said. Really? That's true, actually. Inventor of the PCR test and Nobel Prize winning scientist Carrie Mullis, who fucking hated Anthony Fauci's guts and with good reason, said this test is not diagnostic. And if you set the cycle rate threshold too high, all you'll get is false positives. And what did they do? Anthony Fauci came out and said, agreed with him, that if you set it at 35, all you get is dead nucleotides and 97% false positives. So what did they do? They set it at 35. Why'd they do that? So that they would get false positives, so that they would have the pandemic that they wanted. He said to, when talking about the lockdown, he said that the cure can't be worse than the disease. He said no lockdowns. He said the cure can't be worse than the disease. And then guess what he said? Lockdown, everybody. You see how this works? Somebody with great video editing skills should make a video of, you know, a split screen of Fauci arguing with himself, of him saying, you got to wear the mask, and then show him saying he can't wear the mask. There's got to be somebody out there in this audience who's great with video editing can make something like that. Just find a video, make him argue with himself, because he's taking both positions on this. And that is not something you do when you are trying to be intellectually honest, which of course he is not. We remembered that he said in 2017 that Trump was going to get a pandemic during his term. That's psychic. He said hydrochloroquine wasn't effective, but it was. He pushed garbage models of the spread. Then, when it didn't pan out, said, you can't rely on models. I mean, so what is it, man? Either you're basing your decisions on models or you can't rely on models, but you can't do both. He also endorsed Tinder hookups, which I think is funny. I don't know. Look, 18 senior FDA officials say that there's no evidence that the vaccine need booster shots, and yet all these maniacs are out there saying you got to get booster shots. So there's even division inside the FDA with senior officials. I'm just here with my popcorn watching them all fight with each other. It's extremely frustrating and dangerous. You know, it's really dangerous. We're being told how to navigate this deadly pandemic. We're being told the things that we're, you know, in the vast majority of America, you know, I'm making this kind of America specific, but it's not limited to America. The vast majority of people are good people. They want to do what's right. They want to help out any way they can. Hey, look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a virologist. I'm not a first responder. I tell you what, I can do something. I can play a role in this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to the experts. I'm going to do what they say. I'm going to try and minimize my exposure. I'm going to try and minimize my contribution to this by trying not to spread things. If they need me to stay inside for 2 weeks to flatten the curve, fuck, you know what? I'll do it for the betterment of society. I'll do that. All these people out there started off with good intentions. And what did they get? They got nothing but lies from people that don't have a problem lying to you and that are in positions of power. So now we're living through the repercussions of the medical establishment giving us contradictory information and contradictory dictates and advice, mandates, frankly, of things to do. And then it turns out that it's the exact opposite of what you should be doing. And you can't take this medicine. That medicine will kill you. Oh, it turns out that medicine actually was the best thing you could take in. But we told you not to take it because you were going to kill grandma and blah, blah, blah. History will not be kind to these people. It is our duty and responsibility to hold them accountable. I am furious about this. I have been for a long time. The only end for this situation are the guys at the FDA, the Faucis of the world, the Deborah Birxes, the Donald Trumps, the Joe Bidens, all of these people in their administrations to be tried and, if convicted, punished for their crimes. And if that punishment involves the Nuremberg-type trials in which the penalty is death, then so be it. Because what they have done to this world is unforgivable. If you like this show, please share it with your friends and family. If you want to connect with me, you can do so at my website, The Octopus of Global Control. You can follow me on Twitter, @MacroAggressions. I will talk to you soon.